You're listening to Well Said, where customer success leaders share their best advice on a single topic in around 5 minutes. Today we're joined by Lauren Humphrey, who has led customer success teams and commercialized products at Brightwheel and Gusto. As VP of Success at Brightwheel, she owned onboarding, support, upsell, and retention. Lauren is now an advisor to Brightwheel and joins us from Sydney, Australia, where she just moved her family.
So one thing that makes Brightwheel unique is the high volume of SMB customers. And I think what everyone would like to hear from you is, how is the team structured? But maybe even more importantly, what are some lessons learned or things that you think you do really well to service that huge volume of customers?
Sure. Great question. So for context, I'll give you a bit of background on Brightwheel. So Brightwheel delivers software as a service to preschools, daycares, camps, and other early ed programs to help them manage daily operations, compliance, provide visibility and high quality communications to parents, and collect tuition payments. And I was actually a Brightwheel parent before I became a Brightwheel employee. But to answer your question, so delivering best-in-class experience to SMBs is definitely a challenge. You've got to figure out scalable ways to engage and retain more customers with the same or fewer resources pretty early on in the evolution of the business. And because SMBs don't have huge teams or technical experts, like, oh, that's our dedicated payroll team, they can actually need more help to get started and be successful with your product than larger customers. So not painting a very good picture, but I will get now to the part of enlightenment. In terms of structure, here's how I thought about the team at Brightwheel. First things first, every touch point counts. In a world of high volume, each interaction should be designed to set customers up for success. Now, I'm not saying that we're there yet, but that should be the thinking. And if you are interacting with a customer, that person on your team should have the mindset of, I'm setting this customer up for success. So we included onboarding, support, retention, upsell, basically every customer-facing activity post-sale as a part of the customer success team. And the team that you traditionally think of as customer success, CSMs, we called them customer engagement. And so that team is the team that owns upsell, retention, renewals targets. And we point them at kind of those high value, high risk moments in the customer lifecycle. But everyone on the team is responsible for the success of our customers. So another tenet I subscribe to is that success starts early. If you look at underlying drivers of churn for most SaaS businesses, you'll find something that happened or didn't during the sales cycle, the onboarding process, or within that kind of first 30 to 90 days. So we spend outsized time focusing on the sales process, the handoff to onboarding, and the onboarding journey to make sure that customers have the right expectations and can get to value quickly. And this is a huge one. Like, I know it probably sounds very duh, but I think a lot of companies overlook this part. Like, I think of onboarding almost as a product unto itself. And as a result, we had a huge collaboration between sales, marketing, product, systems, and of course the onboarding team to make sure we could get it right. Another secret I'll tell is that it's really easy to think that each customer is a snowflake, and they are. They're all beautiful. We love each of them and each of their uniquenesses, but you can create a few clear delineated onboarding paths and run customers through them. And if you do create those paths, you're able to run more customers through those more effectively. So you get better and better at it. And customers at the end of the day, they want to be told the best practice. They want to be told what to do. And so if you give them a really clear path, it turns out they do really well. And in terms of scalability and cost effectiveness, you are fighting less unique fires down the road. Next, specialization scales. So with larger customers, you might see a more dedicated one-to-one CSM model. In the SMB world, it's harder to make the financials work with the same breadth of ownership in one person. So we still want and need to deliver high quality experience. So I like to specialize the team so that when a customer is onboarding, it's with an expert. If they have an issue, it's with an expert. And if we identify an upsell moment, it's with an expert who can make that upsell or make a save. So this means that on the internal side, we're able to train people and enable team members with more focus, which when you're dealing with large numbers is a really good thing. And there tend to be fewer gaps in coverage. If you've got a whole squad dedicated to onboarding, then someone goes on vacation, that set of customers don't lose their whole world. This brings me to my last point, which is really important. So all of this kind of goes to the wayside if you don't have coordination and visibility. This means that you've got to invest in systems early on. I've made the mistake probably too often, but made the mistake of not investing in systems early enough. And if you want to be able to have these really high quality interactions, then the team needs to have visibility into the customer, know what's going on with them at the particular stage that they're dealing with them. And the team needs to be able to coordinate across one another to make sure that that customer feels like they're not just kind of getting dropped across teams, but instead just sort of moving along the journey. So that's how I think about the CS team at Brightwheel. And I'll also say, particularly with SMB customers, you're going to have tons of phases of iterating on the customer journey. And those phases may not always be cost effective or scalable. So that might be the far north star, but in the beginning, you've just got to kind of figure out what works. And, you know, as with any tech business, teams need to evolve in structure, skill set, and process as the product and customers evolve. So that's where we are today. And I suspect that the team will look really different, you know, even 6 months to a year from now.
In your low touch model, how do you think about pairing CSMs with customers? Can you walk through how that's structured?
Yeah, definitely. And I would say this is probably the most kind of, you know, the construction sign of work in progress and will probably continue to evolve. But so, yeah, so first, definitely it has to be a more digitally led experience. We do actually invest more human touches in onboarding. So that's where we have more of a one-to-one relationship with a customer. Because again, if you can set them up for success and get them started on your product, then what we found is if they get all that right, they don't really need much engagement after. It's when they've gone off on their own magic journey and, you know, implemented something incorrectly or started to use the product in a weird way. And then that's when we get the big fires down the line. So that's where we've invested in more of a one-to-one, and we'll continue to figure out ways to, you know, make it less one-to-one. So experimenting with things like group webinars, which it turns out our customers love because they're social and they kind of like a little bit of competition. But once the customer has been onboarded, that is where we lean more heavily on a product-led experience, and then also an experience that our friends in marketing are able to help deliver. So thinking about lifecycle marketing, webinars to help kind of deepen their engagement with the product, even, you know, communities. It turns out our customers, and I think SMBs in general, are really social people. They've got a really lonely job, a really hard job. And it's nice to be able to kind of see and interact with other folks that are fighting the good fight. And so just things like a Facebook group, we get tons of engagement and some of those other parts of the Brightwheel experience that our customers get. But in terms of more CS touch points, we of course have support, which you want to avoid, but we have it for when something goes wrong. And then we have that engagement team. And this is where we were doing probably the most experimentation. Isn't necessarily cost effective to just do a quarterly call for every customer in our base. And so we started to just generate a series of hypotheses. What would indicate that something has gone wrong or might go wrong soon? What would indicate that someone's ready for an upsell to our payments offering, or hey, that would indicate that they should go deeper into the product? And so we'd write out a hypothesis and find a set of customers to call that had shown those indicators, and then we go validate or invalidate the hypothesis. So, oh, nope, it's actually not a risk sign when customers log in less over the summer because they're not working as much. Cool. Or, oh, whoa, this is definitely an issue. So now we're going to spin up a program with the engagement team to call any customer that shows a sign of X, Y, or Z a month after it happens or right as it happens.
Well said, Lauren. Every week on this podcast, you'll hear fresh ideas from some of the top leaders in customer success. So wherever you're listening right now, just go click the subscribe button and make sure you don't miss the next episode.